Welcome back. It is What's Happening Abuja. Hopefully you are doing okay wherever you are. Welcome, welcome, welcome. A few issues to share with you before we get into further conversations this morning. Let's see. Looking at some news from within the FCT. First of all, we are here that there might be a possible closing down of a particular market in Karu area of the FCT. Yeah, and why is that? Well, let's get into the story and, of course, let you know why that might happen. Karu traders beg FCT over planned shutdown of the market. Karu market traders on Wednesday appealed to the FCT administration to suspend the planned shutdown of the entire market for further cleanup. Their appeal came a day after the FCT Ministerial Committee on City Sanitation stormed the market to remove shanties and illegal structures inside it. Speaking during an interactive meeting with officials of the committee, a representative of the market developers, Chika Obiora, pleaded that the traders' means of livelihoods would be at stake should the market be shut down. Obiora, who commended the demolition exercise, said it had restored sanity in the market as he pledged to work in synergy with other stakeholders in order to sustain the environmental sanitation as well as ensure an end to traffic gridlock. Responding, the senior special assistant on monitoring, inspection and enforcement on FCT to the FCT minister, Ikaru Atta, said the rate of illegalities perpetrated in the market do not only constitute environmental and security threats, but not befitting for a model city like Abuja. He reiterated that the FCT minister, Mohammed Bello, was unhappy that traders in Karu market had left spaces in the market to take over the roadside, making it difficult for a free flow of traffic. So that is the major reason why this cleanup is going on. And of course, when it's called cleanup, it has nothing to do with the environment. It has all to do with illegal structures, shanties, and traffic gridlock. At the end of the day, because of course it's a major one, major issue with traders, all kinds of traders showing up, disregarding what the structures are or the what the regulation is, and setting up shanties everywhere. But my question is usually, I mean, there's always a market administration, manages. The facility. Now, how do these people end up building these shanties if that association, if that organization is not aware of it? So while the task force does its job, which is quite clear, of clearing off these shanties and bringing back sanity, the root cause of the problem would be the regulators who turned a blind eye to the situation in the first place. Now, if these regulators turned a blind eye and the situation got to the level where we needed a task force, it means in a matter of time, we will need another task force to clear it up again, because the people who should watch it are not watching it. The people who should regulate are not regulating. The people who should determine whether these shanties are legal or not are not, doing their job. So who is taking the blame for this? Who is taking the fall for this? Who is to take the punishment for this? For it to have got, I mean, we're talking about, Ikaru Atta is talking about a model market for the FCT. If it is a model market, how did these shanties come up in the first place? And then the market authorities did nothing about it till, it is causing all the gridlock and all of that. These are the questions that need to be answered for a more long-term solution to some of these problems. Well, the marketers and the traders in the market are asking that please don't shut it fully down. Don't shut it down fully. We really just want to continue our business. You can carry on with what you're doing, but don't shut it down. Well, let's see how that pans out. We'll continue to bring updates to you on these issues as the days go by. Stakeholders in the FCT have decried the inadequacies in the Abuja master plan, as they described it as fraudulent, as a document, fraudulent document, which failed to capture the interest of the original inhabitants in the territory. The stakeholders also expressed dissatisfaction with the current resettlement process, which only takes into consideration the physical resettlement of the indigenes without looking into their social, economic, and psychological well-being. Drawn from civil society organizations, student unions, politicians, area councils, and representatives of traditional institutions in the FCT, they argued that the original inhabitants have not been fully compensated as claimed by the government over the years. The project manager, Abuja Original Inhabitants Organization, said the meeting was targeted at working towards entrenching political participation by the indigenes of Abuja. So the cries for integration, the cries for settlement, the cries for you know, empowerment of the Abuja Original Inhabitants continue. And this time in louder tones and in very, very quick successions, as the case is right now. All right, that said, just thought to bring you up to speed with some of the issues in the FCT. Why don't we catch up a little bit? I've got a few minutes, catch up with you, and basically, you know, hear what you have to say concerning what's going on where you are. It's 0700-951-0000. That's 0700-951-0000. That's the number to call. And of course, we've got 12 channels by which we can take your calls on this same number. And of course, our WhatsApp portal is alive and well and open to your inputs. 08099930137. That's 08099930137. That's the number to send us your messages on, and give us a picture of what's going on where you are. Good morning, Mayor. This is Osh from Abuja. I must be honest with you, I lived at Karu for 15 years. I once asked the question why the traders blocked the roads, and I was told that the shops inside the market were too expensive for the petty traders to afford. And as such, they come out to the roadside. Something is just not right. Thank you so much, Osh. Great show, he says. But you see, that's the thing. In other climes, there are different ways of managing such situations. You know, so wholesale markets are separated from retail markets. Retail markets are separated from petty, you know, corner shops. So for a city like Abuja, for instance, you don't have, you know, a market that's, you know, the petty trader whose entire business on her tray is worth maybe 3,000 naira. That's the entire thing on her tray, which she's going to spend almost 12 hours to attempt to sell, some of which she might not finish to sell, you know, that day. She might have to cross into the next day. So somebody has just 3,000 naira, 3,500 in her total capital. And then the shops cost, say, what, 600,000 naira per year or something? How does this person, you know, afford that kind of thing? You know, so, you know, smaller shops, smaller cubicles in a corner shop area, for instance, maybe we don't call it a market, maybe we call it a corner shop or something. Those days in Gwarinpa, we used to have those corner shops, you know, that had the small barbing saloon, the small cameraman, the small photo studio, the small restaurant, the small things, you know, so that people who are doing the small businesses have their place, you know. But maybe this is why the stakeholders are, you know, taking a bash at the master plan of the FCT, to say that, look, we don't think that this document was one that was well thought through, because actually, if it was, then some of these things would have been taken into consideration. And is the master plan cast in iron? Is it cast in a rock? Can it not be modified on? Because if, you know, the same level of thinking we have is the same level of thinking that existed when the plan was created, then of course we're not making progress. Because the realities of the time of when the master plan was created are different from the realities of now. Our population was not this much. The rate at which the FCT population is growing is completely different now from what it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago. It was totally different at that time. So if we're still thinking at the same level, when the problem, I mean, as the problems continue to develop, we keep thinking at the same level. What's happening to us is this: we're not learning. We're not learning, and that in itself is a major, major, major problem, because it means that we've gone back to beyond the basics of existence. Why? Because if an animal, you know, goes through a particular place, goes through a particular spot, for instance, and was stung by, you know, an electric fence or something today. He goes through that spot tomorrow. He was stung by an electric fence. He goes through that, you know, in the same spot next tomorrow. He's stung by an electric fence. By the fourth day, the fifth day, he will stop going through that particular point. Why? Because he has learned that there's something unpleasant in that particular spot. There's something unpleasant that is not, that is not in my best interest in that particular spot. So I won't go that way anymore. Even animals learn. So, I mean, we would have to elevate, you know, our thinking and stop looking at the master plan as though it is cast in iron. People wrote it, and there were certain things that were looked at before the master plan was written. Why won't we look at it again? Look at our realities in the now and rewrite, you know, different phases of the master plan. Yes, phase one is complete or almost complete. Phase two is being developed. But we've got phase three, we've got phase four of the master plan, you know, where we can correct mistakes that we made in phase one and in phase two. Or are we saying, you know, as a people, or as the FCTA, that we cannot learn from, you know, our experiences, from our mistakes, from our shortcomings, from, you know, the realities of the now? You know, so this brings to question: is the master plan for the comfort of the people, or are the people for the adherence to the master plan? What really is the priority? Is it the people or the plan? Is the plan for the people, or is it not for the people? That's the question, you know, at the end of the day. You can be a part of this conversation on 0700-951-0000. That's 0700-951-0000. Good morning, sir. Mr. Ikaru should clean up the task force if... which he supervises, then we will have a clean environment. So go around the city and interview the people with shanties, and they will tell you how much they pay daily to task force to maintain their kiosks on a daily basis. This person is alleging. Good morning, Mr. Fortune. Call my son, Andika Udo. Is today a calling day at all? Let's see if we have time. At that time, we'll see if we can call. At 10:45, though, we have a guest joining us this morning. Okay, let's see. The real question is, what makes a city? The people or the buildings and the road, says Osh, asking me there. I see someone calling me out on the phone. Sorry, tried to take your call, but missed it. So let's wait for you to call us back on the lines this morning. Can we hear from here yet? Hello, good morning.
Pastor, my name is Uncle Tom. I'm calling from Lugbe. Let me first of all say that for a long time, I've been calling in all segments. I've never been going through at all. It might be like, no, Uncle Tom is not calling. First time I'm calling for a long while. You see, master plan is for the good of the people. Master plan depicts the orderliness of how the structure should be. And if that orderliness is maintained, the people will benefit from it. For example, you talk of sewage. Don't build on a sewage. Hello?
Oh, yes. I was going to actually butt in, but I didn't want to be rude. Looking at the master plan this morning, I'm looking at the issue of providing for petty traders.
Okay.
Yes. So what's your thought on that?
Talking
yes.
about departmental expenses, is it?
Mm.
Petty traders. Yes. In the master plan, hello?
Yes, sir.
Am I going wrong?
No, we're listening to you.
Okay. Maybe I didn't get it right. I thought we always talk about master plan, demolition, and the rest of it. Yeah. That's why I went that way.
Yes, sir.
But when you're talking about departmental expenses, that is master plan for the well-being of the people. I won't say much on that, but the truth is that if the idea is to bring circle, then let there be orderliness and sanity in the whole exercise. That's the only thing I can say.
All right.
Thank you,
Uncle Tom. Good to hear from you after quite a while now. Hello, good morning.
Hello, Fortune.
Yes, welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Rada Goodman. My name is Katie. I'm calling from over there.
Welcome, sir.
Yeah. Fortune, you asked a very critical question as to where are the market administrators when those putting up charges were putting them up. Mm. You see, they look the other way. The problem we have in this country, particularly under this government, is that people are not being punished for the wrong they are doing. And so the problem continues to increase. When somebody does something and goes free, the next person will come and do it. The next person will come and do it. Before you know it, now they are talking of task force. We will end up setting up task force for everything. Unless we go back to the basic, unless government, you know, take the bull by the head. Mm-hmm. And punish those who are, you know, defaulting on the master plan. Because I know Abuja is not up to 50 years yet. And the plan would have taken care of at least at the time of starting. In 50 years, then what will happen? And then take into consideration what would have happened between now and that 50 years. Now we're just about a few years and look at everywhere it's a mess up. Simply because people are not being punished. You can mention that in every aspect of life in this country. People do this and go scot-free. Tell me, how many times have you seen we have been complaining here? People give us adulterated fuel. Nobody is punished. We are kept on the queue. People are selling fuel at any price. Nobody is punished. How would we know just this kind of thing? So Carol should go and sit down and go back. Like somebody said, let him go and do a homework of his transport, because they all know what is happening.
Thank you, KD, for your thoughts on this. Let's see who else calls us right now. Hello.
Hello, Fortune, good morning.
Hey, Mike, When Wind Blues, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kevin. And you see, Fortune, I want to remind you of you bring a similar topic on this platform some time ago. This tax force here, FCDA, do this, that, demolition, this, that. I don't even know where to start from. First of all, we had a closure on what was happening when we talk about Warren Park and Metama, where places that were even meant for residential were turned commercial.
Yeah, yeah.
Have we had a closure to that issue?
We've not been able to get anybody to respond to that.
Exactly. And then, fortunately, I've observed in this town, any time you put up a structure, you give foundation before you reach window level, stop work. But at the end of the day, you see that building go on. Have you observed that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So who are these people that came to mark, and how come those buildings still went through? I've observed almost all serious buildings in this town. You see the red mark crossing or something.
Yeah, for some time, and then time. Later.
Maybe the door of art. So, like somebody wrote, they said, I heard from Mr. KJ, I was saying that Icaro, look,
The other time when they wanted to demolish IDP Council by area one, whatever, Ikaro should know it that he starts from somewhere. Even though where he is today, some of us who know him closely, he should know where he starts from. Why I'm sounding like this is because people who call IDPs, internally dismissible in their own countries, where they are trying to manage to end to survive. You say you're going to demolish them and all of that. On the determination of the senator, at least to stop the fault we are talking about, it is not anybody's fault. Rather than the regulators, like you said, as far as you know, in this country, I've not seen any regulatory agency that are up and doing in any aspect. Is it strong? Is it NCC? Call them and which of them have been able to sit or to do what they are there to do? Is this is about looking for money? Let me look at your fortune.
All right, Mike, we'll win blues. All right. So Mike takes it back to the head of the task force. Well, I really don't have a problem with the task force. You know why? The task force is a task force. But there's the body that actually does the developments. There's the body that does the regulation. There's the body that does all of these things. If you're the head of a task force, what you do is carry out the mandate of the task force. But I'm saying, the task force is only dealing with the symptoms of the problem, but without dealing with the roots of the problem itself. And that in itself doesn't help us to solve the problem sustainably. So I'm looking at a more sustainable, way of handling this situation at the end of the day, which I believe, would be... Welcome back. What's happening? Abuja continues this morning. My name is Fortune. You call me the mayor. And I am always excited to, be in these conversations with you as the days go by. Right now, I'm looking at messages coming in from our last conversation. The conversation we had during the 10 o'clock hour. And it had to do a lot with... petty traders and marketers who are asking the government to please shelve the idea of closing down the Karu market so that they can at least continue with their business, even though the task force carrying out a cleanup exercise of shanties in the market to help free up traffic in the area can also carry on with their work. So the question came up, we have a master plan, right, for our markets, for our cities and all that, but this master plan does not exactly have spaces for very small businesses. You could say because the FCT was not meant to be, a city for low-income earners. Supposed to be like the Washington DC of Abuja, of Nigeria, the fastest growing capital city in the country, in the continent, and all of that. But well, you see, in this fastest growing city, where we have the CEOs, we have the top government functionaries, we have DGs and all of that, we have a very heavy middle class. We also have the people who serve. Who serve these people, the people who service their needs. So the DG has a driver. The driver will not go into, a five-star restaurant to eat. No, he needs the lady by the road who provides food that is affordable. His family needs to go to the market and, buy from the lady with all of her wares on a tray. For instance, there is somebody who, mans the gate. There is somebody who cleans the floors. All of these people are human beings. They have their personal needs, just like the people they serve have their needs, And these needs must be met somehow. I cannot tell you how many times the people who sell okpa in the morning have saved my life from devastating hunger that probably would have been fatal. Just two balls of that very wonderful Nigerian delicacy can save a man's life and continue his heritage and save his children from being fatherless, I tell you, because of the early morning hunger. I remember those days when I used to do the morning crossfire. We used to be picked up at 4 a.m. and there was this lady who, you know, because of her understanding of how the task force works, comes to the streets. She's there by 3:30. So I was wondering, one day I had to ask her, when do you wake up? When do you cook? She says when she's done selling, because at that 3:30, there's a cab that brings her there. From that time till around 4, from that time till around 5:30, 6, 7 a.m., she's done selling the 3 stashes that she brings, 3, you know, full bags that she brings. There are those who work at night. There are those who have to arrive very early because they work very early. All of these people are very hungry. I'm telling you, she finishes her stash before 7, goes back home, and then takes a nap. So while others are running from task force and all of that, she's already done her business for the day. She wakes up around 3, 4, and then she goes to cooking again. By, you know, midnight, she puts it up. By 3, she's there. Every day, the spot, I can tell you where that spot is. But I cannot tell you the extent to which that particular commodity meets a need. You know, but for that kind of person, she cannot pay for a shop, you know. So what I'm saying is, you know, yes, the master plan is for sanity and for all of this, but can't we modify it to meet the realities? There are certain people who must, you know, meet these needs. Because the truth is, no matter how magnanimous the fast food shops are, if they eventually start selling okpa, it will still not be 100 naira. Or what do you think? Somebody said, okpa saved my life this morning. A woman by AP in Metama. Oh, you know her too, right? Okpa saving lives for many, many years, I tell you. I have no shame in that one. I eat my okpa very, very well. I'm a Nigala boy. What again do we eat? That's our delicacy. Let's see what this person has to say. Hello, good morning.
Hi, hello, Potty.
Welcome.
Good morning.
Yeah, good to hear from you.
Hello,
welcome.
What you saying about the master plan, it is quite dicey, because even the master plan, if you look at it, it's not even that accurate.
Mm.
There are some things that were supposed to be designed to even forecast the population expansion.
Yeah.
And then those were not put into cognizance. At the end of the
day, oh my. Thank you so much. I'm so sorry, though. I think that was network or something. I don't know. Abruptly cut out there. But I thought you were making a great point about, you know, ignoring some of the prescriptions of the plan and just going with the flow and then finding out that we've made terrible mistakes at the end of the day. And then we start spending money to fix those mistakes over time. Okay, Emoete from Asokore, unadulterated, unrepentant listener and follower, he says, talking about the root of shanties and task force enforcement head, I will point fingers at what I observe to be misappropriation of empathy and assistance. Here in Abuja, in the name of helping a widow, usually the case, or a man, young or old, trying to survive, we enable them to destroy master plans and rules despite knowing it is wrong. Until we stop empathizing with what is wrong, task force will continue to have problems with implementation. No big man or influential person should give permits to anyone to sell or raise shanties. They can help subsidize rents. Okay. I see what you're saying, you know, and we're not saying it's legal for shanties to be up. I'm talking about how do we solve the problem from the root rather than treating the symptoms. That's what we're saying. Hello, good morning. Sorry about that. Good morning. Wow, three calls in a row. Good morning.
Hello, good morning, the person.
Welcome. What's your name, sir?
Mark. My name is Mark.
Okay, Mark. Welcome.
I'm a first-time caller, anyway.
Oh, wow. That's good. Welcome.
Hey.
Good to hear from you.
I would like to say that you have already said it all, and the administrators should both buy this thing so that they get to feel privileged to see something that they will have for a living. Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, that's my own thing. But then, the question, I want to run to this.
I wish we could take it, but quickly.
And I have been having some kind of issues with my job and some money problems. Like, although I have a job, I handle office and good at, but then no frequent job for me. No, I'm a speeder. No frequent job. But then I hope they let me stay it out on them. Maybe there could be any help for me, then I don't know. So
okay. So this is what I would say. You're a squeeder. Do you have a smartphone?
I don't have a smartphone.
Okay. So you don't have any social media accounts where you show your work that you have done before?
I have them before, but I lost my smartphone, but I
soon afford
another one to buy
stuff
now.
Okay. Alright, well, you said it. Let's see how people respond. Yeah?
Alright,
thank you so much. All the best, my brother. Money problems all over the place, my well, we hope things look up for you. Mr. Fortune, think something similar happened in Karamu Market on Tuesday. Federal government should try and do something for small traders, says Hafsat. Otono Shereme, okay, that one is for a birthday shout out. The mayor, I know what I'm saying, though. From your point of view, it will be alleged. However, from this end, I have witnessed the task force collecting 1,000 naira from these roadside hawkers on a daily basis. On your topic of having the small traders in mind in the master plan, we know what to do to make it work, but the will is not there because of personal gain. Why keeping a task force that is always bent on creating more problems rather than solutions? Or are they clueless? Can't the master plan be altered to accommodate the present realities? Kule from Suleja asking questions. Somebody sends us a link. Somebody else sends this message. Good morning, Mr. Fortune. Your sincerity is so real and genuine. I swear. Okpade ho bele o. Samson from Garki. See, Samson, forget all this Abuja packaging that we are doing. The fact that somebody is talking in, if they show you what is in people's tummies that they are walking around, you will be shocked. The most packaged person, you will be shocked at what they eat. I mean, it's Nigerian food. What's making it not to be desirable? It's okpa. Just like they have meat pie in the US, we have okpa here. I don't know. I have no shame for okpa. Please, I love to hear this, your okpa stories in your funny thief accent. Veteran from Aso Drive, you want to take me to play mode. It's still serious time mode. Good morning, Mayor. I think this understanding you have is what I think the government doesn't have. If they truly have the understanding that all fingers can never be equal and that all the fingers have needs of each other, they will always create room for everyone in every of their plans. I came to Abuja in 99 as a hawker, and I as the then enter the rest in Eagle Square when I'm tired. Okay. Meat pie equals okpa, somebody says. Good morning, the mayor. Please help me and call my brother. Okay, we'll do that. But right now, we have a guest joining us from Co-Track, and of course, I'll introduce him very soon. Don't touch your dial. Welcome back. So I'm joined by a guest from Co-Track Satellite Systems, of course, a household name in tracking and, of course, surveillance in the FCT. Are we good with that headphone there? We are. All right, great. So we have Ms. Ifeanyi joining us from Co-Track this morning. Thelma George not making it today. Of course, we're getting used to all the names that come from Co-Track on this dial. Ms. Ifeanyi, good to see you again.
Good to see you too, Fudge.
All right, great. So let's talk tracking, you know, from a security point of view. But of course, I'll give you the opportunity to introduce your company to those who have not interacted with the brand before. First of all, tell us what Co-Track is about.
Co-Track is a tech security firm, basically created to improve the security situation in Nigeria, to help improve the security situation in Nigeria. We're specialized in vehicle tracking, which is why we're here this morning, one of the things we do. So basically, we install tracking systems in vehicles and anything that moves, like I always see, vehicles, bikes, keke, humans.
Okay, I mean, I've been looking at tracking as, you know, one of those opportunities that we may be missing out on in terms of managing security in, you know, the FCT and in Nigeria, as the case may be. Because one of the issues we have is the fact that not a lot is documented. So we don't really know, for instance, how many cars we have in the country, you know, and all of that. How can we harness this opportunity, you know, to improve our situation in the country?
You would be surprised that an industry like NNPC, for example, or any of these big names, any of these local empires or hotels, do not even know the number of cars
that they have.
Yes. So the tracking helps improves that. At least one, it gets you to do an inventory of where your vehicle is. You know where every single car you have invested in is.
Wow.
You don't have transport officers coming to say, we need to buy new cars. What happened to the 23 cars that were bought a year ago? And so with the tracking system, you have a live view of all your vehicular.
All right, so you have a live view.
Yeah.
Is that the newest thing? What's new?
What's new is real time.
Okay.
Now, you have vehicles. You can choose to use them, or we have people that don't use those vehicles and you want to know where it is. Now, we've tried as much as possible to improve the way the system works. Even now, insurance companies get to stand to gain from us because you can tell whether a driver is a high-risk driver or not, whether his premium should go up or not, because you can check how his driving history has been, the harsh braking, does he drive fast, is he always over-speeding. That can help you make proper judgment, even as an insurance company. As someone that has a Bolt driver out there, you can even tell, not just if your driver has been driving and bringing returns,
how does he use the vehicle?
You have a driver that gets into trouble with VIO every time, or with road safety, or with hitting traffic lights. You can tell all of that from the history of the vehicle.
Wow. I mean, I think it just solves a lot of problems beyond, you know, the whole surveillance, oh, where is my car, or it's been stolen, recovery and all of that, which is not something to throw away. I mean, the last time we spoke, you talked about a number of cars that were recovered. Can you remind us of that?
Yes, we had over 50 cars that were stolen last year alone from us. Yeah, and we were able to recover 100% of them, yes.
Wow.
And like I always said, most of those cars were Toyotas.
Oh, yes. I think there's, you know, there's this affinity for the Toyotas, the Corollas. And, of course, also the possibility of people getting into them easily. But with a tracking device, you can short it out?
Yes, you can.
Oh, great. Okay, so what does it take for, I mean, some people say, oh, my vehicle is, I mean, this car is over 15 years old. I don't think the systems work for my car. There's a myth about, you know, the older the car is, the more less likely it is to be tracked and all of that. Please help us demystify these things.
No, I think I would always say try and go and price your old car again. With the way things are.
Yeah.
Just try again. Your old car, your old 2000 car
that you feel is old.
Go and ask how much it costs now and you'll be shocked. Mm. When you find out the value of your car, you would know it is spending for the 6,000 naira to keep it safe is really small.
Mm.
And now we have the first casty everywhere. You don't want anybody misusing your car, especially as a company. You don't want people taking your car to Maraba, to Nyanya, just get into traffic and all. You want to be able to be sure that the fuel you put in the car was used for what it was meant for. So with the tracking system, it helps you save cost on fueling, help you save cost on repairs on your car because the car is used for what it's meant to.
Okay, so Cotrac Systems, you are domiciled here. Are your services only within the FCT?
No, we run in the entire Nigeria and 16 African countries, like we always see.
And so, vehicles can be recovered from these 16 countries?
Yes. So when you have your car taken through Niger, you have your car taken through the Cameroon border, we're still able to recover and find the car.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So let's throw this open a little bit. I know we've had quite a number of conversations for a while now, and there are certain people who have questions to ask. They've not been able to ask these questions, or I mean, I'm not equipped enough to be able to answer those questions after you've left. And so maybe we should throw open the lines and see, you know, what personal issues or questions may have come up, you know, in the mind of someone who's thinking about tracking his vehicle this morning. 0700-951-0000. That's 0700-951-0000. At some point, we'll put out the Cotrac number and the website and all of that. A matter of fact, as we wait for this call, maybe you should do that so people can, you know, start looking it up on, you know, on their devices right now.
Our numbers are 0700-6968-9286. 0700-6968-9286. And our social media handle is Cotrac Nigeria. Cotrac is spelled C-O-T-R-A-C. C-O-T-R-A-C. So you can find us on Instagram at Cotrac Nigeria. Our website is CotracNigeria.com. On Facebook, we're also Cotrac Nigeria.
All right, let's see. I have this caller. Hello, good morning.
Hello?
Hi, good morning. Welcome to the show. Okay. We couldn't track that particular call, but let's try this one. Can someone transfer the Cotrac device from one car to another?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
If you install the Cotrac device on your first car,
you won't sell it.
Car, you can transfer your subscription to a different car.
Okay, and then reconfigure it to that car.
To the car.
So yes, you can transfer it if you have it. It's not like, okay, you sell the car and then you'll still be tracking it wherever it's going. It's no longer your car. You no longer have a right to it. But the car that is yours, you can transfer your subscription and your device to that one. I saw someone trying to call us. Please call us again, you know, so you can ask your question this morning. 0700-951-0000. My question to Ifeanyi is this. Are cars the only thing that can be tracked?
No. You can track a boat. You can track a person. You can track your bike. You can track your tricycle. Mm-hmm. Anything that moves basically can be tracked.
Wow. And it has no effects on the you know, the workability of that device.
Yeah, we don't tamper with your engine, so your car functions perfectly. You don't even know that the chip has been installed inside, and no issues at all. Even when your car goes to the repair
places, yes,
or for maintenance, you're still fine.
Mm. Okay, so I see. Is that all the questions we have this morning? I really wanted us to interact. I want you to call in and ask your own question on this tracking matter. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome.
Yeah, my name is Franklin from Abuja.
Okay, good to hear from you.
I want to confirm, this is GoTrack, right?
Yes, this is GoTrack, sir.
Okay, please. When you track your car, I was told there's a renewal fee for every year. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, why can't it be like when you track your car once, you don't have to track it again, like there's no need for a renewal fee or anything?
Okay, that's your question?
Yes, I want to know why can't it be one-off your lifetime?
One-off.
Like once you track your car, there should be no renewal consistently every year. What is the renewal fee? What's the reason for that renewal fee?
Mm. All right.
All right,
thank you very much.
The way our tracking system works, you have a hardware installed in your vehicle, mm-hmm. and then you have communications the vehicle have. You also have a system where you can go and track and monitor the car. Those things are paid for.
Yeah.
You have an application where you can always see the car 24/7.
Mm.
It's paid for. You have places where the points are stored, servers where those data is being stored, they are being paid for. So the purpose of the renewal fee is to be able to cover the cost of communications here, cover the cost of those server fees that have to pick in. So the difference between, so for example, basic plan goes for 46,200, and then a year after, all you have to pay is 12,900. So it's not the same thing. Some companies charge you exactly the same amount on the
every year,
but we don't. You only pay almost less than 20% of the price subsequently.
Okay, so that's why you have to pay. I mean, it's just like starting a website and saying once you pay, you start your website forever. You don't have to do anything again. I mean, as simple as TV subscription is, you pay again, right? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, my honorable.
Welcome. Bright. Welcome.
Yes. My question is this. Which of the insurance companies is tied to Protect?
Contra.
I know there's a couple of them that I know that when you pay for premium, it covers
the tracking.
Tracking. So I need to know the names of those insurance is Protect and Protect.
All right.
So that I have a comprehensive insurance on my car, so I want to know.
Okay.